to a Friday afternoon edition of True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. I am Kevin Walter, your host. True Wealth is brought to you by Coins Plus in Spokane, Washington. Coins Plus is your full-service rare coin and precious metals broker-dealer depository service. We've been in business a few years, a couple decades, and we plan on being here a few more. We've done a tremendous amount of volume as I compare through various reports and stuff that come out around the nation that, you know, people purposefully or unpurposefully or unintentionally release their volume records and things like that. We've found that we have been a very substantial force in this industry. God's blessed us well, allowed us to do a lot of business with a lot of people, helping a lot of people out. We do a lot of investment portfolios are really probably our big specialty. We buy collections and estates and all that too. That's where we get a lot of stuff. But we hand select items for the investor. We do have collectors too, but we know the market. We know the industry really well. I was just talking to a gal and she was concerned about the premiums on a certain product had gone up since she dropped off her money and, you know, and all this stuff. Well, she'd gotten in on them before it did, which is good. But like I said to her, I said, if value is not there, if the premiums on something are not right, and or unjustifiable or whatever, if we don't think there's a good value there, we won't put you into that. We aren't here to just sell stuff. We're here to handpick, hand select good material to, you know, to use biblical principles, solid conservative financial principles, which is what we, you know, use to base precious metals investing on in the first place. Again, I've, you know, just to be repetitive, Genesis 2, it still astounds me. It pops right up. I went through that the other day with a gentleman who was on the brink of faith, but also very drug away by the world that he lived in. And he is a programmer, a senior program engineer for, and I was trying to find out where he worked. Very intelligent. But he works, he kept saying, oh, it's a big company. It starts with an A. You've probably heard of it. And then he'd go on. And I'm like, so who is this? And he'd go back, well, they own this and conglomerate of that. And on and on. Who is it? Well, he goes, it's Alphabet. Well, Alphabet is the company, is the parent corporation of Google. So the guy's a senior program engineer for Google, working remotely out of our area. And man, what a conversation that was about cyber currencies and the future of cyber currencies. So this is an area of programming that he's involved in and specializes in. And wow, his brain is insane. But the threat that he's describing is terrifying. I mean, he's just, in a way, he goes back and forth. He's in the shop, our business, buying gold. He's putting 25% of all of his money in gold. Okay. Now, this guy is a cyber currency freak, you know, the Bitcoin thing. He just thinks that's the future. It makes all kinds of sense to him. He's not a believer. It doesn't make sense to me. It's a technology. I mean, he's like, yeah, but your currency's always there and you can always access it anywhere in the world. And it's, and I'm like, no, you can't. You have to be on a computer. And he goes, yeah, but it's always stored out there. It's always stored somewhere. It's always stored somewhere. Where is somewhere, you know? And on we went, and it was really difficult. And he goes, well, it builds more trust in this money. And I said, how does that build trust? He says, well, I'll have to think about the answers, long story short. But the whole mindset, this is that new generation, folks. This guy's probably in his 30s, PhD in computer programming, among other degrees type thing. And this is their idea of reality. And we are like looking at it, if you're a little bit more elderly like I may be, you're looking at it and you're like, this is really not right. This is scary stuff in a way, you know. We're supposed to fear the Lord and nothing else and not fear man, etc. But scary is scary. It's like that. You look at things and you say, well, here's the benefit, here's the risk. Well, the risk, from my perspective, far outweighs the benefit. What is the risk? A complete and total and absolute loss of all your freedom and liberty. Nothing more, no major thing, right? The guy's explaining to me, and again, he's programming for Google. I ran into a similar situation when we were in Costa Rica. There was a CIA guy there with about 20 of Google's finest, and they were working on their DNA mapping protocol program, okay? That was probably a decade or more ago. Well, now we know Bill Gates is very likely mopping all this stuff up. There's a lot of information out there that says that he's tracking that down through his COVID testing and whatnot. But when you have Google 12 years ago, DNA, now why are they involved? Why is Alphabet involved in programming for cyber currencies and for the government? And then he tells me about the Fed dollar that was in the, and I haven't verified this, I thought I heard something about it, but the Fed dollar that was in the stimulus bill that Trump apparently pulled out at the last minute or something. And I don't know if that's the case, but it would not surprise me. Let's see here. The thing about this is, folks, there's a lot going down. And I'm trying to see if there's any notes on this Fed dollar being in there. I remember hearing about it. Digital dollar. Yeah. Wow. It says something about the digital dollar reintroduced by lawmakers in the latest stimulus bill. I think, number one, they wanted all the money to go out digitally. Why? Because they want to track everybody everywhere all the time. They have a landing point. I will tell you, with this stimulus bill, there is rampant fraud in this PPP. That's the Protection Payment Plan. There is rampant fraud and abuse and misuse. Massive corporations have abused the tar out of this thing. There's also another loan, I think it's EILD loan, which emergency something for businesses that, you know, they can just get astounding amounts of money. Companies are getting $60 million and $90 million and putting it in the bank, just setting it aside, because these are companies that are highly capitalized already. And then you have small business owners jumping through hoops, filling out paperwork to get, you know, 2 months pay for employees. Never mind their overhead and their expenses and, you know, and the cost of running a business. These people are sweating bullets. These big C corps, okay? Interestingly enough, what happened a couple years ago? Trump puts through his new tax bill, which highly, heavily favored C corps. C corp is a massive corp that's broken into stock. All pretty much publicly traded corporations are C corps. You can have the stock privately held or publicly held, but it's, you know, it's for the big boys. So they get this tax break, this corporate tax break, way down, and then they save just a massive amount of money, huge amounts. Plus, they're allowed to repatriate their cash into the United States, which they had locked up overseas. You have a combination of that, in other words, $3.69 trillion had come back before this COVID activity. And during the Obama administration, he had sent over $1 trillion a year overseas, which is really interesting because it's in his mind, it's probably a combination of redistributing the wealth, you know, giving our fair share, paying equally. Problem is, he favored a lot of people that most of us don't favor, and as a nation especially. The face of this nation has changed and is continuing to change to be very sympathetic towards religions and groups of people that are very vehemently committed to our demise. And that's what Obama was spiking the punch with. He was just filling these guys' pockets. So all that money's out there. You got about $10 trillion, to my understanding. In other words, or not $8 trillion, whatever. Depends on where you read. So just say $8 trillion. That's a ton. And then you got the 3-point sum coming back. So say we get 10 out of that back in this nation. That's huge inflation, because even though the deficit was sitting at, like, say, at, you know, $22 trillion, 10 of it or half of it is overseas coming back to us. So that's, in reality, it's a doubling of our cash position in this nation. Okay. That doesn't mean there's piles of cash in the streets. What it does mean is people have a lot of cash. Companies have a lot of cash. Banks have a lot of cash. If banks have a lot of cash, what do they want to do? They want to loan it out. And if they want to loan it out, typically what happens is they're going to loosen up their standards. Well, and, you know, they have the money anyway. It's not their money. So the Fed lowers rates and so on and so forth. And then what we get is we get this downward spiral of, well, net worth, basically. We get an absolute loss of the net value of our dollar. And we have a manipulated, deceptive, it's called an exclusionary consumer price index. When they dictate to us what interest rates are, it does not include in whole food, transportation, real estate, and energy costs. Okay, those, which is what you spend as an average American, about 85% of your disposable income on, to live. So when they say inflation's 1.5% or whatever, it's not. It's more right now, especially it's big. So if we had $22 trillion deficit, there's also a bunch of gray area where the CIA is allowed to make as much currency as they want. And word is, or I mean secretly and covertly, so no one knows, you know, where they're coming from, I guess. Word is the amount of currency they've created is astounding. It's a major percentage match to what's already in our deficit. It's not small amounts of money. And they use that to manipulate and rock world governments. Just like a certain billionaire could very well, most likely, be behind the COVID-19 outbreak. And more so, the follow-up on it. So, back, you know, just to kind of finish up on the Alphabet Soup guy, just kidding, the Alphabet Corp, Inc., which is the parent corp of Google. Apparently, there's been this huge push, this big rush recently from the federal government and other entities to get this programming done. They're apparently building a U.S. Fed dollar or something like that, that is fully cyber. And he is telling me how great it is because you're not going to need that money in your hand anymore. You're not, and he doesn't understand God and the Bible, but he's 10. You don't even need that gold or silver. You just need one little card, one little chip. Anywhere in the world, you can access your money at any time. And he's telling me all this stuff. And I'm like, dude, that is not a good thing, you know, and they can track you everywhere. And then he said the other cool thing about it is if somebody, this is where your thought process gets switched, because don't we always think those bad things are going to happen to somebody else? Why is that? You know, it's kind of funny. I guess most of us probably think that way a little bit, but some of us, maybe if you get where you're afraid they're going to happen to you, then you're gripped by fear, which is a sin. So don't do that. Don't be afraid of anything. Have no fear. And you might be like, well, that's foolish, Kevin. You know, If I have no fear, I could fall off a cliff. No, I didn't say be stupid. I said have no fear. Be wise and have no fear. Fear God. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. So if you want to be wise, you got to fear God. If you don't fear God, you're never going to be wise. If you fear everything out in front of you, it becomes unrealistic and unreasonable. It is anyway, because God says it is. But the whole thing is it migrates. It progresses. You if you don't conquer your fears, if you don't run to your problems, if you run away, and there's a lot of ways to run away. I mean, there's relational ways to run away. When your spouse or whatever says something you don't like and you just disregard it, and you just kind of scoff, which the Bible's not a big fan of scoffing and mocking, is it? But, I mean, you just disregard it. Oh, that's just garbage. And, you know, you just run away and you don't solve problems and deal with emotions and deal with human interactions and deal with financial problems or, you know, deal with... You probably can tell a little bit about your personality by the condition of your home. When I was in banking and I used to have to go out and do home inspections for loans back in the day in Montana and whatnot, pride of ownership was everything. The condition of a person's home inside and out told you volumes about the person, as long as the condition of that home had been their responsibility. If they just bought the house 2 weeks ago, that's different. But overall, you can tell a ton. We used to have, when I was in the banking business and we had a management training program back before computers took everybody's jobs, part of the interview was when the individual was in the interview room, we would send out an employee to do a written evaluation of the vehicle. There was a 5-line questionnaire. And you can imagine it had a lot of different questions. First of all, the question was, is it their car? You know, we do, because we were doing auto loans, we had a plate check thing. We could check the plates instantly. Is it their car? If it's not their car, why? Whose is it? You find out all this stuff. And obviously when you're in the banking business back then, you had to do pretty extensive background checks anyway. So it's public record. We'd look at the condition of the car itself. You know, the age of the car, it tells you stuff. If it's brand new and they're young, they're probably in debt. How much, you know, that sort of thing. Because financial troubles lead to more troubles in banking. If people are really strapped financially, believe it or not, the biggest fraud that I saw in the banks, it's not theft of money per se. It's people, employees, management employees, writing themselves fake loans to juggle problems, we'll say. Excessive debt, maybe an affair, maybe a little trip to France with the mistress or whatever. Then what happens is these bankers, this is the number one thing they would look for, auditors, believe it or not. So they're not really stealing the money. Of course, they give themselves the best interest rate, but it's still borrowing money. It's still debt, and it's foolish, and it's fraud. But they would roll the debts over and over and over. They'd rewrite a loan or take another loan and pay it off or take out another loan in another name and use part of the proceeds through an account to pay off the other loan so it wasn't traceable, etc. This was part of the reason we cared about people's financial conditions. But anyway, the condition of the vehicle told us a lot about the person. We had an entire psychological backup for it. Pride of ownership tells you everything. And all I'm saying is run your problems. Don't be afraid. Don't live by fear. Fear clouds your mind. Watching people during this COVID-19, quote, outbreak or fantasy or fallacy or delusion or deception or whatever you want to call it, propaganda, watching people's responses tells you so much about where they put their faith. I mean, it tells you everything. There's people that just see the truth. They're hunkered down, looking straight forward, and they want to kick some butt because they're not liking what's going on. It's obvious. And we get, you know, if you remove fear from the equation and you remove subjectivity, which is, you know, emotional-based decision-making, or more like emotional-influenced or controlled decision-making, if you remove those and become completely objective, you will see the, first of all, the big question is, how real is this anyway? And I'll get to that soon. That's a big question. But even so, first of all, we know the numbers are a lot lower. The death numbers that were supposed to be 2.2 million are now like, you know, 60,000. But, folks, there is so much evidence now. Fact. Project Veritas got, you know, a lot of recordings from people at funeral homes, rest homes, whatnot. They're being told to list every single death as COVID-19. In one state, one of them was related to a Supreme Court justice in that state who knew it was false, you know, leaned on him a little bit, and quickly and coincidentally, they did another autopsy, and lo and behold, no COVID-19. But a funeral director in New York got picked up by Project Veritas. I'm surprised because the girl... I think it was a girl on that one that was doing the interview. Was her? I didn't think her technique was that great. But the whole thing is the guy's just saying, look, they're putting on COVID on everything. This is a director of a massive funeral home. They're putting COVID-19 on everything. They're hyping it up. They're putting people on TV. Like I said on the last show, the girl's crying and we've got dead bodies in our house. And, you know, I mean, come on. It's just hysterical drama. They create that stuff for TV. It's made for television drama. And we've got, honestly, folks, they are stacking death certificates up for COVID like you can't believe. So what they talk about in this study or investigation is money. Not only, so the, in, you know what, isn't it interesting? This is only happening in liberal states and or counties and communities, municipalities. Cuomo, Andrew Cuomo is a classic. This guy's an absolute train wreck. And Bill de Blasio, I mean, these guys are loving it. They want more. They want money for their community. But why? Well, probably because they pay off all their buddies. And they've got, you know, I mean, maybe they want their community to be healthy, or maybe, and they hate Trump and they want to suck the government dry. I don't know. I do know. It's money. But these guys are, they're breaking the back of the system. They're breaking everyone's back. This thing has gone awry. So the COVID-19 numbers, first of all, are just a train wreck of inaccuracy to a multiple you wouldn't even believe. I predict literally at least 10 times minimum. 10 times. So the 60,000 is probably 6,000 at most. So if that's a fallacy, here's another interesting thing. Because of the confusion, well, and I've gone through the WHO list of diagnostics, or yeah, diagnostics to determine or make a COVID-19 diagnosis. There's four. Number one is raw data testing, real tests, real autoimmune serum testing. That's the one you and I would say can't refute that. The next three are crazy. They're basically, one of them's epidemiologic or logical, which means exposure. You know, you probably, if you knew somebody, and I mean, really, the way it's written is so vague, it's, you wouldn't even believe it. Do you know somebody who knows somebody who says they have COVID? Now, you know, if you're three steps from a rumor, you're a COVID death. There's also been some murders covered up in this too, which I don't have time to get into. But so you've got the fact, the epidemiological, they've got what's called presumptive clinical experience or data which is contradictory, which is you can't presume laboratory outcomes. It's just silly. It either is or it isn't, period. So that's three. The other one is just assumption. Well, it looked like COVID, smelled like COVID, tastes like COVID, got to be COVID. So what do you do then? Well, all the death certificates say it. Now, here's the problem. Money, 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 money. There's money going out in this thing, folks. I'm baffled by this whole thing. There is so much that does not make sense. This is like another 9/11, only the chaos of 9/11 was so much greater that you know, and we didn't have quite the access to data and information that we do now. But I am telling you, folks, this is like something's really wrong here. I'll just say that. I've got from an inside source that I respect in a big city on the West Coast, this guy's real connected, very, with the top people in the world. He deals with them financially. And he sent me an email. And he's calling, he's referring to what they call the plandemic. And he's talking a lot about, just everything that's gone on. The fallacy of the scientific data. I've got a whole actual college thesis that's already been written on this. That he sent me from a private individual that I'm kind of looking over here. It just goes on about that, there's so much stuff here. They've got all the breakdowns of the bottom line is they substantiate what I was just substantiating. The number of deaths from supposed COVID are just through the roof. I mean, you've got countries like Hungary that are claiming 8.1% of all deaths are from COVID. Mexico, 6.6. Jamaica, 5.5. They're just calling everything COVID. And if I had time, I'd go over that a little bit. It's interesting, but it says, a real pandemic thrust unexpectedly onto the entire world by a mischievous Chinese bat. Somehow far more deadly than the hundreds of other coronaviruses in common existence from all varieties of animals, bats inclusive. And it goes on and it says, are the heavy restrictions that will prevent things like four people walking side by side on the sidewalk, but allow them to share a car, the consequence of a biological disaster or political? And it goes on. It says, everyone who's going to read this has probably already got their opinion formed. It says, before December, the first reported case of COVID-19 was December 2019 in Wuhan, China. At the time, it was supposedly an unknown quantity. Yet, on October 18th, a couple months earlier, Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security, who are now spitting out a lot of statistics for the government, so you got the Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security, along with policymakers, business leaders, and health officials, undertook a carefully designed simulation of a coronavirus epidemic entitled blah, 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 blah. That's what I talked about, Event 201. So Gates got together a group of business leaders, policymakers, public health officials at the highest levels, Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security, who's been the number one provider of skewed statistics in this whole thing, and they did a simulation. We've discussed this, but this is real. So it says sponsors of the simulation were who? The primary sponsor was the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundations, and it had included the World Economic Forum, The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, along with the World Health Organization, the European Commission, and the UK government have funded a group called Perbright Institute, which I've explained. They're all together in it, but Bill's the kingpin, and it owns the patent for coronavirus and any vaccines that follow. The patent was filed for on June 19th of 15 and approved November 20th of 18. Just in time for, you know, to prepare to take the Trump man out. Or what, and or the big grand Mac Daddy that they didn't want to do while Obama was in office, because it, you know, they want to do this. There's a big realignment of everything. It's like I said, monetarily, there's all these people I'm talking to in banking at super high levels around the world. They say there's a big change coming in our banking system and in our money. People are predicting huge crashes, orchestrated messes. Folks, I'm telling you, you probably want to get yourself secure in some hard assets. And we obviously do that. But I will tell you, we're a very, very high volume, low margin dealer. The premiums are a little bit above normal, and there is a delay in, you know, I mean, we've got so much coming in, tens of thousands of ounces of silver per order. And it, you know, and there's a delay on producing it. So it'll be out, you know, a lot of times like a month or whatever. We get prepaid and lock you in. But it's just the way the market is. But I'm telling you, folks, and we have it coming through constantly. We've done tremendous amounts of business over the last 25 years. So we have a pretty active revolving door where people are buying and selling and buying and selling. And it's their savings account or their bank account. Which that works out real well right now. If you've got a little bit of liquid cash to go here or there, keep it. But I'm telling you, folks, if you've got any chunk of savings, you need to get it into metals. It's got to be secure. There's going to be a downturn in, you know, those things, we'll say, which are attributed as true wealth in the Bible. Gold, silver, livestock, real estate, human life, precious stones. Those are the only things that, in general, maintain value through this stuff. There is a problem with that. Okay, the Bible, again, gold, silver, livestock, real estate, ding, 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 precious stones, human life. Okay, there's a problem with, well, the human life a little bit too. But the real estate problem, it's the greatest valuable asset in the world. Okay, so what does the Fed do? And then the rest of the world follows. Debt. Every piece of real estate gets a great big tentacle out there that slops onto it with debt. I mean, there's exceptions. Trust me. I mean, our house is free and clear, as is our building and as is everything I own, which should give you peace of mind that we don't have any. We're capitally sound, but the majority of people don't. So that debt now has changed, fundamentally transformed, as Obama would call it. Interesting. It's fundamentally transformed the very nature of real estate as an asset. When you combine that with the taxes, maintenance, of course, there's always maintenance and upkeep. People are getting bigger, nicer houses now. Even though a house is, you know, they know people are going to live in it as long as it stands, it's still filled with items that have built-in obsolescence. This is the new thing. It started back, I think, in the 80s, really. Companies like Ford Motor. I know a professor of statistics that worked for them, helping them calculate, sadly, an obsolescence point and trying to create parts that will break just outside a warranty so they can make more money in their service department. So this is kind of the way we're going here. And the whole financial concepts that we have going on here, Bill and Melinda Gates don't need more money, but they'll always happily take some. But what they really want to do is control the government. They want to control the people. Bill's given speeches. He's got an antagonistic now, an agitated spirit about him. He always had a bit of arrogance. I do know people that have worked with him, around him, and for him, and they've said he's always been kind of like that. He's a little bit aloof, to put it lightly, maybe. He's kind of that, again, Asperger's, you get that sort of mild autism is where some of these crazy, awesome ideas come from. So he's a little bit odd, but he's getting super agitated like a king whose people are not obeying. He's getting mad at the peasants. They're not obeying. He's tried to explain we need to reduce world population, but who's he really speaking to? He's got to be speaking to the same types of people that he had at his fun event 201. Because who are they? They're the leaders. They're the teachers. They're the educators. They're the policymakers. Those are the people that he's speaking to when he says we need to get a universal vaccine so we can reduce world population. Well, guess what? And he's been saying that. Why would you be part of a company that would patent the coronavirus? And then why would you go out and tell everybody and prepare everybody and show them how bad it is? Not only that, but how they're supposed to react when it hits. Oh, and by the way, while you've taught the leaders, and then you do the pandemic docuseries and educate the populace, and right as that thing is peeking out, up pops little coronavirus's head. Perfect timing, right? Bill has the testing kits and this and that. We shut America down. Trump spends money like a wild bandit. And I'm telling you, what are the options? The options are slim right now. And you'd say, wait, Kevin, that's not right. The Fed is wrong, man. Borrowing money is wrong. We can't, our country's going bankrupt bad from this. My answer is you are absolutely correct. But the problem is you are looking at, as Trump would call it, the swamp. And we're seeing now more than ever what that area is like, how corrupt and dirty and evil is. So he's doing the if you can't beat them, join them thing. And I think he's trying to just get through the election. I think he's terrified. So they've got in this paper definition of a patent. I don't need to do all this. It says so. They've got all these numbers, and I really don't have time to get into them. But it looks like a planned event. He goes, supported by the governments and major health organizations worldwide. And right before that, he breaks it all down. And just some interesting, I'll go ahead and do this for you. Sponsors, I told about the event 201. And it says, let's quickly look at the definition of a patent. A patent's an exclusive right granted by a country to an inventor, allowing that inventor to exclude others from making, using, selling, changing, or altering his or her invention. So major corporations can actually invent viruses and sell the resulting vaccines to you for a profit backed by the government. Think about it. No one can tamper with their virus. Oops, I got out of the lab. Darn it. You're going to have to use our testing kit and you're going to have to use our vaccines. But wait, shh, Bill. We can't jump out this quick. You are going to ruin our big plan. Oh, okay. And he steps back. And then he does it through shell corporations and shills and everything. But he's got the money. So the government's not coming after him. And after all, he's liberal, right? So he's liberal. So he's got a free pass. As a liberal, you probably get one murder per $1 billion. Just kidding. I don't know quite how it works, but I know that money talks and other things walk. I know that Solomon said money's the answer to everything. And I know you can buy William A. Clark, Patsy Clark, down in Spokane. He was a major player. He was a big copper baron in Anaconda, up in Butte and Montana. And he said, I've never met a man who can't be bought. And you're like, well, I can't be bought. Well, you might like fishing, and he might have a blue ribbon, you know, fly fishing ranch somewhere, or a friend that he can take you for 2 weeks and have a Michelin two-star chef and fly you in and out by helicopter in today's standards or whatever. I don't know. Maybe every man does have their price. Maybe not every man knows when they're being bought off. I don't know. But that is what why billions and billions of dollars that Bill Gates has had longer than any other human on Earth, and more of it, is gives him a lot of power. So that's a patent. So other evidence, they saw this coming, okay? The Center for Disease Control and Prevention, which is another major supposed authority in this event, they started hiring for statewide coordinators of its quarantine program back in mid-November. But remember, the virus didn't show up until December in China. But why were they hiring for a statewide coordinator of their quarantine program in mid-November? And they also own more than 50 patents connected to vaccinations, which show they, too, have a major financial incentive or vesting to promote all this virus behavior. Virus panic, virus testing, virus vaccinations and immunizations. So then in 2017, the World Bank launched $500 million or launched $500 million in pandemic bonds. 3 years before the coronavirus outbreak. And it said, quote, to cover developing countries against the risk of pandemic outbreaks over the next 5 years. So given how rare pandemics have been and how supposedly unpredictable they are, that's an awful lot to devote, an awful lot of money to devote to pandemic outbreaks. You know, any chance maybe they saw this one coming? So in January, close to Wuhan, where Bill Gates built the lab, a hospital was reportedly been built in just days. This is January. Specifically designed to deal with coronavirus. So it was built after the outbreak. So you're like, well, that makes sense. But then they found out the planning design had begun a year earlier. What? Wait a minute. Think about it. Special hospital goes up in Wuhan to help cope with coronavirus. It goes up in January. And by the way, any builder, commercial, will tell you, you don't just make a decision and have a hospital built in a month. Sorry, that don't happen. I know I've done commercial construction myself. Not going to happen. You know, the planning alone takes months or more. That's a rush if it's months. So that, you know, major facilities like that take months and years of planning and funding, which, you know, obviously proves the development without the facts, which are evident, that development on a facility of like that started long before it was built. Okay? So that's in Wuhan. So there's an inside there. So then you ask, is it just coincidence that a coronavirus outbreak occurred in the only Chinese city, which is Wuhan, where a coronavirus study was being conducted? But of course, it didn't get out of the lab. Think about it. The only Chinese study where a coronavirus, or the only Chinese city where a coronavirus study is taking place is where it broke out, but it has nothing to do with that. The lab that Bill Gates built cost $44 million to build, and was designed. Their application said specifically for, quote, studying the pathogen that causes SARS, which was a type of the coronavirus, which Bill Gates patented. And what gets even more spooky is a novel published in 1981 predicting the outbreak of this pneumonia-like illness spreading throughout the globe in 2020, originating from Wuhan. Dean Koontz, The Eyes of Darkness, published 1981. In the book, in around 2020, a severe pneumonia-like illness will spread. This is directly quoting from Dean Koontz's novel. Written in 81, in around 2020, a severe pneumonia-like illness will spread throughout the globe, attacking the lungs and bronchial tubes and resisting all known treatments. Almost more baffling than the illness itself will be the fact that it will suddenly vanish as quickly as it arrived. Okay, there's prophecy for you folks. Attack again 10 years later and then disappear completely. Then the next paragraph goes on. To understand that, Dombey said, you have to go back 20 months, and he goes through all this. Then that a Chinese scientist named Li Chen defected to the United States. This is written in 1981, carrying a diskette record of China's most important and dangerous new biological weaponry in the last decade. They call this stuff Wuhan 400. Think about it. Because it will be developed in Wuhan labs outside the city of Wuhan. Or labs outside the city of Wuhan. And it says it's a 400th viable strain of man-made organisms created at, you know, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, it's fiction, but really? That's pretty big fiction. I mean, that's pretty good stuff. That's a pretty good prophecy, isn't it? I would have to say, yeah, that's a little bit crazy. That one caught my eye. So we need to, I don't know, folks. I think it's fair enough to tell yourself you don't believe in coincidences. Sorry, bump the mic. Those are the kind of coincidences that you just, they don't happen like that. So we've got Bill Gates is now testing what's phase two. I'll go back down here and finish this up for you. So, and then we go into the deaths, the misrepresented deaths. So, it looks like a planned event supported by governments and major health organizations globally. But it's still real, right? Because all these people are dying. And that's where I'm kind of losing it. According to the official CDC data from February 1st through April 7th, within the 50 states and District of Columbia, there were 2,214 total deaths from COVID-19 and 476,602 deaths from all other causes, which is just 0.5% of deaths from COVID-19. The updated data as of April 16th is now showing 11,356 deaths from COVID and 569,400 total deaths. So that's now moving up to 2%. Some pandemic, right? I mean, really. And we've just discussed those numbers are so skewed and so pounded and so overloaded. In another article or another release, the CDC this year is combining influenza deaths with COVID as COVID. Why? Because they can't distinguish between the two unless the test is done. And tests are being done on a very low single-digit percentage of the so-called infected and or decedents or death the people that die aren't being tested. No one's being tested. It's all innuendo because that's fine with the World Health Organization standards, which meets our requirements, which gets our government to give your hospital and your municipality, your city, state government, a lot of money. And they always want more, and they always want more, and it's never going to end. So when you look at what's going on, the pandemic's not so much of a pandemic, even with their fake numbers, okay? And the updated data is obviously pushed. I can tell you from my mathematics background, it is impossible to go from 476,000 to 569,000. It's impossible that the percentage can jump from 0.5 to 2% in 1 week. And how do I know? Because you break down the average number of deaths per week, and which I did, imagine that. And all of a sudden, that makes sense. The number of deaths per week stays static, consistent, but the ratio of deaths from COVID goes through the roof. Okay, you see what I'm saying? So the death rate remains rhythmic. There's no change. And it breaks down to, you know, 40,000 a week, say, from all causes. Then, so you maintain that pace, but all of a sudden, if you take the increase period, which there's 90,000 more deaths and 10,000 of them are COVID, so you got 90,000 deaths over 2 weeks. It's about 45,000, but all of a sudden they're all COVID. 10% are COVID, actually more than 10%, but it's not even sensible. So just trust me there. So for a country in lockdown, I mean, those numbers don't, that's not a pandemic. That's not worth this damage that we've inflicted. There's so many different things to cover here. It's so out of control. But, so many people are so afraid. They give it all up, hand it all over. Here's my rights. Would you like my kids? What do you need? You know, take it. You can have it. As long as you tell me I'm safe and I won't die. The fear of dying is really a crazy one. For some reason, the devil knows. That's he who sows to the flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. The fear of death is terrible. You watch people freak out. I've seen people, you know, just lose it over the fear of a shark or a bear or a tiger in the forest or whatever. I mean, it's gripping. It reduces all logic and common sense. So the National Vital Statistics System, which I've known about since for many moons because of my background, it's a U.S. government-supported system where they are supposed to share statistical data, which coordinates different state health departments and National Center for Health Statistics, which is this National Center for Health Statistics is another division of the CDC, Center for Disease Control. So on March 24th, they released a statement announcing a new ICD code for COVID-19 deaths. And their thing says, this is quoting directly out of it, COVID-19, should COVID-19 be reported on the death certificate only with confirmed tests? This is what the CDC says. COVID-19 should be reported on the death certificate for all decedents where the disease caused or is assumed to have caused or contributed to the death. What is that? It means if you know it did it, if you think you did it, if you think it did it, if you wish it did it, if you want it to do it, you know what I mean? It's like if you're part of the whole scheme and scandal, this is why the CDC says they can't specify flu. Look at that definition. Should be reported on the death certificate for all decedents where the disease, this is from the Center for Disease Control. This is so non-scientific, folks. To you, you might go, well, you know, maybe they get some that. Folks, I have a strong academic scientific background. That ain't science. That is not good. You do not do that. You cannot ever have good statistical data down the road for any kind of studies, for any kind of follow-up reporting. None. You got nothing. It's horrible non-science, okay? So anyway, it says it should be assumed or have to have caused or contributed to the death. Believe it or not, that is their... They have a part here, the part that's bolded out. It's bold. It says, or is assumed to have caused or contributed to death. The CDC bolded that. Bold, you know, so you don't miss it. Not the rest of it was bold. So think about it. Why would they bold that? So believe it or not, they are behind this too. Which means no confirmation of COVID-19 is required in order for it to be listed as the cause of death. So just 2% of the total deaths are listed as COVID-19, and we explain statistically impossible there. And they are based on nothing more than an assumption by non-professionals or people who weren't present when the death took place ever. You know, if a patient has 5 serious illnesses, blows their nose 10 seconds before dying, the doctor can say it could have been COVID-19, therefore it was COVID-19, and I'm pretty much out of time. So there's a lot of Project Veritas is verifying it. Folks, we're being had, but I'm telling you, there's another phase coming, and I wish I had time on the show to discuss all that. There's another phase of this coming, I'm being told by a lot of people, and it's all manufactured farce. I would encourage you again, get your money secured in a nice balanced portfolio. We can help you build it. Don't think, you know, there's things that sound so pretty, annuities, I don't like them. I've been Series 6 and 7 licensed and every other license you can get. Don't buy into the pretty pictures of the flower garden. You'll never see your money again. And, you know, and you need to read the fine print. So anyway, give us a call. You can also go on Google and Facebook and whatever else, Yelp or whatever, and give us a positive review. It's 3 of them. We'll give you 2 nice Morgan dollars. And trust me, right now that's a terrific value. But our phone number is 509-99. Oh, no, never mind. You can get it online. Take care. God bless. Have a nice night. Bye-bye.